Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and Chavos daf of. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learning Lazech Mishmas. Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are in Hamad Beis and we begin a classic discussion of the Gemara. We are in the topic of Bia Rishona, the first act of cohabitation between the husband and wife. The Braisa, taking us all the way back to Daf Yom Hamad Beis, says that it's usher. One is not allowed to have Bia Rishona with on Friday night. Why not? So as we know, the biology, the anatomy is that a woman has a sack of blood at the entrance of the canal, a hymenal sac. It's what the Gemara refers to as Dam Basulim, and what happens is that at the first Bia, so that sac is going to get ruptured and the bleeding is going to occur. So on Shabbos, the problem is that one is not allowed to make a chabur on Shabbos. One cannot make any type of wound on Shabbos. It's prohibited. As I mentioned yesterday, briefly, in the introduction, but I'll just repeat it again. Chabur, making a chabur on Shabbos is a malacha, but it's not actually one of the 39 malachas. It's not listed as one of the 39 malachas. So there's a major discussion amongst the Rishonim. When we talk about chabura, it is a subcategory. It's a talada of which malacha. So it's not perfectly clear which malacha it is. Rashi and the Gemara Shabbos gives two choices to choose from. Rashi says it could either be a talada of shechita, which actually makes perfect sense. In other words, when you shecht an animal, so what you're doing is you're moving bloods around in the animal. So you're causing bloods to move from one place to another. Actually, you're causing the blood to exit the animal. So, but still, it's a it's a moving of the blood. Or number two, says Rashi, is that it's soveya. You're discoloring. In other words, what you're doing is you're taking with the chavala, with a chabura, so you're taking something which was of a pink color or whatever. Just talking about my own skin, but and then you're turning it red. So that's it's a subcategory of soveya. There is a third option, which is maintained by the Rambam, is that the chavala is a subcategory of dash, of mefarik. When you are taking a juice and you're extracting it from the fruit, so that's chita. That's a subcategory of dash. So Rambam says similarly over here, when you're removing blood, not removing, but you're moving blood into another location. So that too is also going to be a subcategory of dash mefarik. That's the yes.
You gave us the bottom line already that it's okay to have the
right.
So you're not accepting.
So that's today's daf. We are going to accept it. After we get through today's daf, so then you'll understand a little bit better. it really is the entirety of today's daf in terms of why how the conclusion will become that it's okay. Even though the Braisa says it's not okay. Okay, so that's going to be our point. But just the starting point is that it's presumably awesome. Okay, so there are three possible malachas, but either way, however, whichever malacha it comes from, so certainly we know that chabura is one of the malachas. So how can you have that first act of bia? So the Braisa says you can't. It's that simple. There's nothing to discuss. Well, nothing to discuss. And meanwhile, there's today's daf where it's an entire day of discussion of this topic. So we're going to start in the Gemara with the Ibailahu. It's in the middle of Hamad Beis, and this is really the starting point for the Gemara. This is part of yesterday's daf, but really we stopped here because this is really where today's daf, in terms of a conversation, begins. The Gemara starts off with the question, so can you have that first act of Bia on Shabbos, Dam Mifkat Pakit or Chabura Mechbar? So the Gemara starts off with a very basic question. How do we view that sack of blood? Is it Mifkat Pakit or is it Chabura Mechbar? What's the difference between those two languages of the Gemara? So if you take a look at Rashi right away explains Mifkat Pakit, Kamo Pikadon, Kenos V'Omein. So Rashi says it's like a sack where the blood is there and it's already stored in a container. The enu nifle bedof ne'arechem. It's not absorbed in the body. And what ends up happening is that when you're opening it up, you're not actually moving blood from one location to another location. All you're doing is removing blood that's already there. Rashi goes on to write. So, rechem liyositiyasa yedei chabura, ela sheha pesach na'ul befanav. Rashi describes that basically all it is just a locked door. And uposkhan loviyotse. And by having the first act of bia, so you're opening the door and you're allowing the blood to come out. But that's not chavala. Chavala is when you're taking blood from a different part of the body location and you're moving it to this part. But if the blood is dam mifkat pakit, if it's stored there already, so then there wouldn't be a problem.
What's to make an opening?
Oh, stay tuned. Oh, chabur mechbar. The Gemara is, I'm just reading the next Rashi. What's the other option? The other option is Dam Besulam Ayotzei Dechaburuhu. That no, maybe the Dam Besulam is not considered like it's a sack where the blood is actually stored in that location, but rather what you're doing with the penetration is you're actually extracting the blood from the internal lining of the canal. Ubasha Dofin Mitparek Mechaveiro. And so what happens is that you are mitparek, you're opening it up and you're causing the blood to come out, and it's much more similar to chabura. So the Gemara starts off with a very basic question in terms of what is the biology, what is the anatomy. Now, in general, when we learn Gemara, so we never like to suggest that what the Gemara is arguing about is mitzvah. The Gemara is not arguing about a reality. We would like to think that when the Gemara is looking at something, the reality is the same reality. It's just a question of halachically how to categorize it. So over here, it's a little tricky to do that, but in other words, that's generally speaking the preferred approach. That's, you know, how I've been trained in learning since I started learning. But still, over here, the simple pshat in the Gemara is basically, how do we view the sack? Do we view it as the blood is already there? That's dam mifkat pakin, which means that doesn't fall under the category of chabur, or no, michbar, chabur and michbar. Or no, the blood is not stored over there, and what you're doing is that you're actually rupturing and you're actually causing the blood to move from one location to another in the extraction of the blood. So that's the starting point of the discussion. And now what the Gemara is going to do from this point going forward is it's going to navigate through the halachas of Shabbos, assuming either side of this question. So there are going to be two versions of this discussion. Each version is going to take one of these sides. So let's see the Gemara inside. So ibaylu humalu bo betchil b'shabbos mifkat pakid or chabur mecha imtim. So lamed mifkat pakid. Okay, good. So let's take the side that's mifkat pakid, which in general is fine. Meaning again, the idea of mifkat pakid is the idea that the blood is there, and all you're doing is just opening the door to allow the blood to exit. But that's not chabura. So the Gemara says l'dam utzarich v'shari u'dim l'pesach utzarich v'aser. The Gemara says, okay, but what is your intention? Meaning the person having this act of relations, is your intention l'dam? Are you interested in the blood? Why would you be interested in the blood? That's a little bit strange. Rashi, Tosos over here writes l'dam utzarich v'shari. So That first point of Tosos I'm going to gloss over because we're going to come back to that later on. Tosos writes, So Rabbeinu Tam says you're interested in the blood because you don't want any more blood to be there, so that the next time that you have relations with her, she's not going to be bleeding anymore. So that's one suggestion of what the Gemara means when the Gemara says you're interested in the blood. Okay, and Tosus has a little difficulty with Rabbeinu Tam's pshat based on the Gemara later on. Okay, again, we're going to gloss over that point right now as well. And the Ri says the pshat, which is I think the simpler pshat in the Gemara. But I don't want to decide. But the Ri says the pshat that no, you need the blood because you want to know she's a virgin. So the virginity is going to be proven by the blood. So ladam utzarich, because you want to prove proof positive that she in fact was a virgin. So again, so let's go through this chain, the first chain of the Gemara. So the Gemara right now is assuming the first side, that mifkat pocket, that really the blood has already been collected in that area. The blood in the sack is there, and it's just a question of opening the door. So the Gemara says, so what are you doing? If you're interested in the blood, so the Gemara says, that'd be fine. However, what's the other option? On the other hand, maybe you're interested in making an opening, meaning the first act of Bia is going to open the area so that you can have future acts of Bia with her, and so maybe that's your intention. And that would be called a Asiyas Pesach, that's making an opening. Making an opening is a form of binyan, it's a form of building. Now I understand we're talking about the human body, but still, midah rabbanan, I don't know if the Gemara over here means that it'd be asur min haTorah, asur midah rabbanan, but either way, you're making an opening, you're making a Pesach, which on Shabbos is prohibited. So, and therefore it'd be asur. The imtim salam aladam utzarachu Pesach mimele kaasi, and then the Gemara goes to the next step, which is, let's say you are interested in extracting the blood, but look, when all said and done, you're still making an opening, meaning you can't ignore the fact that you're making an opening. So then you can further ask, look, that's not your intent. Your intent is not is to make an opening. That's mimela. That's happening, but only automatically. That's not your original intent. So is the halacha like Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says davashenem is kavim, something which is not your intention would be permitted. Oh, halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Or on the other hand, is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? Damar davashenem is kavim is aser. Where he's of the opinion that a davashenem is kavim would be prohibited. The imtim salam halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, even if you could maintain the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, which in this first thread of questioning would mean that you cannot do it, but maybe mekagel eitzel pesach. Yes, it's true that you are making a pesach, but you're doing so in a destructive manner. In general, we know that malachas on Shabbos are only going to be malachas if you're doing something creative and constructive. Over here, you're making an opening, but is this making of an opening, is it fall under the category of constructive or destructive? O misakin hu eitzel pesach, is it constructive or destructive? How can you look at it? How can you look at both sides of this as either constructive or destructive? So in terms of constructive, it's very simple. It's constructive because now you want there to be an opening. In other words, you want to make your wife, you want it to be permissible to you forever, so you're going to open up the area, and so therefore it's an opening of the area which is constructive, because now you're going to have future beers with her. On the other hand, it could be viewed as destructive because she's now no longer basula. Now granted, that's from your perspective, that's fine, she's your wife, but she's no longer a basula. There's a certain benefit to being a basula. There are certain, you know, there's more value, if you'd like to say, being a basula. So maybe from that perspective, it'd be destructive. So again, that's thread number one of the Gemara. That's version number one of the Gemara, assuming that the blood is mifkad pocket. So just quickly to recap, mifkad pocket means that the blood is there, meaning you're not moving it from one area of the body to another. So it's not a chabura. So on one hand, fundamentally, we'd be permitted, but there's a consideration that you're also, when extracting the blood, you're making a pesach, you're making an opening. And then we touch on the issue of, I'm avoiding the words psik reshe, because I know that's coming up. So then the issue is, it's a davashen miskavin, that's not my intention. Do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Shimon by davashen miskavin? And even if we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, you could still make an argument that it's okay, because maybe it's mekakel, because maybe it's fundamentally a destructive act, which in this scenario would be permitted. That's all version one. Now the Gemara goes version two. Ika da amrei v'intim salam adam chibur mechmar. The starting point of discussion number two is that the sack is not there. In other words, the blood is not stored there in the sack, but rather what you're doing is that when you're rupturing, you're actually moving blood from another location of the body in order for that blood to escape. So that means this is a classic case of chavala, it's chabura. And so therefore fundamentally would be prohibited. And now what the Gemara is going to argue is, even here one can make the argument that it's going to be okay. Why? Again, are you interested in the blood? Interested in the blood again, like we saw in Tosfos. Interested in the blood, because this will be proof positive that she was a virgin. And therefore that would be also, because essentially what you're doing is, you're making chabura. The Gemara says, maybe that's not your fundamental intent. Your fundamental intent is hana. In other words, to benefit, to have the pleasure of having relations with your wife. So the lanas atzmo tzarech v'sharei, the imtim salam lanas atzmo tzarech v'dam imel akasi. So the Gemara says, okay, and let's say your main kavana is hanas atzmo. You just want to have the pleasure of having relations with your wife. And the chabur that's coming there is memela. Now we're back. So halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So that now, this is a davashen miskavin. So does the halacha fall like Rabbi Yehuda? Does the halacha fall like Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, good. If it falls like Rabbi Shimon, then it'd be fine. And if the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, so davashen miskavin is us. V'imtim salam halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. And even if the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, we could further make the argument that it may be okay. Mekalka b'chabura, metakim b'chabura. Is this a destructive form of chabura, or is this a constructive form of chabura? Rashi points out over here, at this stage of the Gemara, over here is referencing another machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. See the Rashi towards the bottom of the Amud. Rashi writes, Kilkohu umutter, otikinu vasavafilam kilkohu, yesh lim tzot sad iser, ima davashay miskavin svirlan kerev Yehuda, vemakaka bechabur svirlan kerev Shimon de mechayev. Now, interesting, on this machlokus of when you do a chabura, if you're doing it constructively or destructively, that is another machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and oddly enough, Rabbi Shimon takes the more stringent viewpoint. Rabbi Yehuda takes the more lenient viewpoint. Darmina kol mekaklin b'tur chutz mechova umavir v'kimna kiri Rabbi Shimon beperka oreg. Rashi reminds us of what we learned back in Masechet Shabbos, which is that by certain malachas, and one of those malachas is making a chabura, if I do it in a destructive manner, In other words, all I'm doing, I'm not improving a situation, I'm just creating, I'm just destroying something in the form of a chabura. I hit somebody and I cause blood to come out, so that's destructive. So Rabbi Shimon says you're still going to be chayev in the malach of chabura, and Rabbi Yehuda takes the other position that no, you're not going to be chayev. And what the Gemara now is arguing over here is, same thing over here. Even if it is a chavala, and even if a davish shena miskaven is aser, still one can make the argument that's going to be okay, because it's destructive in nature, and we go like, I know this is going to be a little confusing, and we go like Rev Yehuda, who says makaka b'chabura is pater. So... Okay, good. So that's the sequence of these gemaras. So basically, right? If you want, you can make a flow chart. In a previous cycle of the daf, I did. If you want, you can make a flow chart. But basically, what the gemara did is it asked the question two different ways in terms of whether one can have beer rishona with his wife on a Friday night. So either the starting point of version one is that the blood is not being moved from one part of the body to the other. It's contained in a sack at the beginning of the canal, and it's just now a question of you're opening the door. Is that going to be considered Chil Shabbos? So on the removal of the blood, there's no problem, but there's a Siyas Pesach, but you're making an opening, and so the question is that considered Chil Shabbos, yes or no? Contingent on how you view Davar Sheina Miskaven. Okay, good. Version number two of the Gemara is that no, fundamentally, the removal of the blood, the Dam Besulim, the hymenal blood, is considered a Chabura. The blood is being extracted from another part of the body in order to come out of the body. So it's fundamentally Chabura. Here in version number two, you could still navigate the question of whether it's permitted or it's prohibited, essentially riding on the fact that it is chavala, it's not your intent. Maybe the halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon, that davar shena miskaven is aser. Sorry, davar shena miskaven is mutter. And even if we go like Rabbi Yehuda, who says davar shena miskaven is aser, over here it may be viewed as destructive in nature. And if it is in fact destructive in nature, so maybe then we side like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that kilkul b'chabur is in fact acceptable. It's mutter. Okay? So that was, admittedly, that first part of the today's daf was complicated, and it leads to the question of, so where do we go with all this? So, top of Vav Amud Aleph.
Do you need a sheet of blood to come out?
Doesn't seem that way. Doesn't seem. To violate the malacha?
No, because it's
my other malachas, the Gemara spends a lot of time in Shabbos going over Shiurim. But in terms of extraction of blood, I don't know. I don't know.
Because it's a very small amount.
I understand your question. I just don't know. Bevei Rav Ami Rav Shari Ushmol Aser. Okay, in the yeshiva of Rav, the Gemara now on the top of Vav Amud Aleph, the yeshiva of Rav, so they quote the Rebbe, who happens to be Rav, and he says, it's mutter, Ushmul Amar ben Ushmul Asar. And then they quote Shmuel's position, and they quote Shmuel saying that it's Asar. Bin Naharda, now, if I don't want to be anachronistic, if you took a camel and you traveled from Sura, where Rav lived, to Naharda, I don't know how long that would take by camel, but however long, and you ask them in the yeshiva of Naharda, which is Shmuel's yeshiva, what's the halacha? Amre. So here's what they would tell you. Rav Aser Shmuel Shari. They say that Rav, they quote Rav as saying that it's Aser, and they quote their Rebbe Shmuel saying it's Mutter. Am Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, V'simancha, Elam HaKil Latzman, Elam HaKil Latzman. And you want to remember this? It's very easy to remember. In Rav, how do they quote their Rebbe? Saying it's Mekel. In Naharda, how do they quote their Rebbe? As being Mekel. So it's fine. Meaning, whether you live in Surah, you're quoting your Rebbe, they're going to tell you, yeah, it's fine. Perfectly legitimate. And if you went to Naharda and you quoted their Rebbe, so he's going to say it's perfectly legitimate.
Well, why would they do that?
What about the basis of doing this? I'm not following the question.
On Surah, they say Shmuel is wrong.
That's their tradition. In other words,
that's how they
received a tradition that Shmuel said that it's Aser. Yes, it's strange, because if you went to Shmuel and you lived in the town of Naharda, so then you get a different story of what Shmuel said. I agree that's strange, but that's where we're at. So good. So that is the psak of Rav and the psak of Shmuel, meaning that is the psak, depending on where you live. But at least we have one version of Rav saying that it's mutter. The Gemara says, how could that be? Meaning, I certainly can understand how Shmuel would say it's mutter based on what Shmuel's position is, which we'll go over later this morning. But Rav, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav Shari, Vama, Rav Shimi, Bar Chizkiya, Mishmei, the Rav, Hai Mesur Chayden, Azaisa, Asala, Haduka, Biyumatava. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. You have a beer barrel, and you want to plug up the hole of the beer barrel, meaning you allowed some of the beer to come out, and now what do you want to do? You want to stuff it up. So you take a cork and you stuff it up, but the Gemara over here is describing not a cork, but basically a rag, some form of a shmata, and you take the rag and you stuff it into the hole, and the Gemara says, quoting Rav, you can't do that on Yontif. And you can't do it on Yontif, and you can't do it on Shabbos as well. Meaning the Gemara over here happens to be talking about Yontif, but it would be equally prohibited on Yontif and on Shabbos. Hi, Mr. Chayden Zaisa. So the stuffing for the beer barrel, Asa Lahaduka, you cannot stuff it into the hole on Yontif. So, if you take a look at Rashi, it's a very short Rashi. Rashi writes, "What's the problem? The problem is chita, because what you're going to end up doing is that after you're stuffing the rag in, the rag is very absorbent, and as you're stuffing it into the hole in order to block up the hole, ultimately, inevitably, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be wringing it out. Now, that's not your intent." Well, your intent is to just simply plug up the hole. But it doesn't matter. It's a davar she'eino miskaven, but it is a psik reisha. Now, I'm saying it for the first time this morning. It's something which inevitably would happen. And Rav's of the opinion that if it's a psik reisha, if it's something which inevitably would happen, so then it's going to be prohibited. Then it's going to be aser. So... I'm not there yet. Stay tuned. I may discuss it. I'm going to gauge it based on the clock. But okay. Right now, I know that's a big discussion in the Tosos. But right now, so you put it into the hole and you stuff it up and Rav says you can't do that. Why? Because it's true. It's a davar she'eino miskaven, but it's a psik reisha. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Shimon's going to agree that that's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, and the reason why Rabbi Shimon is going to agree in that scenario is because even though Rabbi Shimon says davar she'eino miskaven, if that something is not your intent, Rabbi Shimon says it's permissibly to be done on Shabbos, but that's only if it's possible that you'll do a malacha. If it's definitive, so then you can, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's prohibited, it's aser. Now, I'm sure we all know this, I'm just going over some basics. Okay, davar she'eino miskaven. Davar she'eino miskaven means I have no intention of violating a malacha. Classic example that's given the Gemara time and again is I take a bench and I drag it over the floor on Shabbos. Not inside, but outside. So I drag a bench on the floor and on the ground on Shabbos. What's going to happen? Let me say it better and clearer. What may happen? So what may happen is I may be digging a furrow on the ground. Digging a furrow in the ground is Chilul Shabbos. That's one of the 39 malachas. That's Choresh. So, is that can I do that on Shabbos? So, this is a classic question of a davar she'eino miskaven. Rabbi Shimon says it is fine. It's perfectly legitimate to do, and the halacha goes like Rabbi Shimon. Just in general, everyone's in agreement. Or the post gemara in agreement. The halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Huda says he cannot do that. However, as the gemara over here just articulated, but I'm just now giving it a practical example. But in the example where I'm dragging it on the ground, but let's say it's a really heavy bench, and I know inevitably it's going to make a groove in the ground as I drag it along the ground. So this is a classic example of what's called psik reisha, where the unintended action is definitely going to happen, where there even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's going to be usher. The term psik reisha, we've gone over this before, but let's go over this again now. What does that term mean? It means to chop off the head. The Gemara elsewhere gives an example where, let's say your child is born on Shabbos and really giving you a hard time, and so therefore what do you want to do? Give him something to play with. So what are you going to give him? Give him a chicken head to play with. Now, I know that sounds a little bit strange. That's not your classic toy that you normally give to the children, but, okay, you give him a chicken head. So what do you do on Shabbos? You cut off the head of a chicken. Now, shechita is one of the malachas on Shabbos. I understand it's one of the malachas on Shabbos. I'm not interested in eating the chicken. All I want to do is just have my child to have something to play with. So I'm just going to cut off the head to give it to my child. Oh, the animal is going to die? Oh, but that wasn't my intent. This is a davar she'eino miskaven. That's where the term psik reisha comes from. The Gemara asks it rhetorically, "Psik reshe velo yamus?" Do you really expect to cut off the head and the animal not die? Of course the animal is going to die. So this is a classic example of psik reshe. This is the example of psik reshe. So over here the Gemara says same thing. When you take the rag and you stuff it into the opening of the barrel, for sure you're going to be squeezing it out. It's inevitable. That's not your intent, but it's inevitable that's going to happen, and so therefore a psik reshe is going to be prohibited.
But
this
is still prohibited by
Rabbanan
or not?
No. If it's a davar shenem eskavin, it is mutar lagamri. It's totally permissible. And then if it's a psik reisha, but however, if the unintended act is inevitable, so then it's prohibited. And presumably, by the way, prohibited in a Torah. Okay. So the
it's very good. He explains that once it's a psik reisha, it's not
going to
be any mischavin.
Right.
What's
going to
happen?
Wait, he quotes Rav Chanan? Probably. It's good. Yeah, he quotes Rav Chanan. Right, that's a classic discussion. In other words, when you get to the point of psik reisha, is that now, even though it was an unintended act, but because it's inevitable, so you know it's going to happen, so therefore it becomes intentional. That's one way to look at it, or there's another way to view it as well, but right now let's just deal with the simple pshat of the Gemara. Okay. Velo yamus v'ha amar Rav. Back to the Gemara. So where are we in the Gemara? So the Gemara says, how can Rav tell us that having the first act to be on Friday night is permissible? The Gemara says, I have a problem with that because we know elsewhere Rav says I can't stuff the rag into the barrel on Shabbos because I'm going to be squeezing. So the Gemara now is drawing a distinction, although we don't fully understand the distinction as of yet. We'll understand it momentarily. But the Gemara says, no, the case of the rag, that's a psik reshe. That's inevitable. So the Gemara says that's why he prohibits squeezing the rag into the hole on Shabbos. V'ham Rav Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav halachik Rav Yehuda v'Rav Chanan bar Ami amar Shmuel halachik Rabbi Shimon v'Rav Chiya bar Avin Masni la below Gavre Rav amar halachik Rav Yehuda Shmuel amar halachik Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. We have a tradition. Either it's said in the name of Amoraim, other Amoraim, or it was said directly by them. Doesn't matter. We have a tradition that Shmuel goes like Rabbi Shimon, and Rav goes like Rabbi Yehuda. And at this point, let's just go backwards for just a moment. Now we understand. The Gemara never challenged Shmuel because from Shmuel's standpoint, it was clear. Shmuel goes like Rabbi Shimon. Good. All the time. Not all the time. Meaning on this issue, on the issue of Davar Shenem Eskavin, Shmuel goes like Rabbi Shimon. So from Shmuel's standpoint, there was no intention in removing the blood. Again, depending on whether you go with Damifkat Pocket or Chabur Michbar, but it's unintentional, and so therefore, according to Shmuel, it'd be perfectly legitimate because he goes like Rabbi Shimon. But now we're able to re-ask the question from Rav's standpoint. Rav says that it's mutter. Again, according to the students of Rav. Rav says that it's mutter to be shown on Friday night. And now the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav goes like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that a davar shenem eskavin is aser. So how can Rav ever rule that it's permissible? So la'olam Rav ke Rav Yehuda sfirle. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav goes like Rav Yehuda. We're not going to challenge that point. So that means now we're at the point of the Gemara where Rav says that a davar shenem eskavin is aser. Okay, so how could it be then that he allows for Bia Rishonah to occur on Friday night? That's the question. So lahach lishna damar damifkat pakid. So the Gemara says, okay, here's how you're going to do it. And remember, you have to hold two thoughts in your mind, not simultaneously, but we're going to have to consider both sides of the Gemara. The Gemara says either the dam besulim is there, it's just in a sack with a door closed, and you're opening the door. That's damifkat pakid or chabur mechbar, and the Gemara is going to argue both sides of that and how Rav would allow it. If you take the side of damifkat pakid, so the Gemara says mekalkel hulaitz la pesach, so it is mekalkel, meaning the unintentional act is that you're making a pesach, you're making an opening, you're allowing entrance back into the area at a future time. That's true, but mekalkel hu. But it's destructive in nature. Remember the Gemara questioned whether it's constructive or destructive? So the Gemara says, according to Rav, he views it as being destructive, and it's a destructive act. So Rav says, therefore, it's going to be permissible.
Yeah,
and Rav Yehuda would permit them. And if you're of the opinion that it's not that the blood was there, but the blood is actually being extracted from the body, and it is chavala, but mekalka b'chaburahu. But the way Rav views it is that kilka b'chabura is going to be putter, or in this case, we're going to say it even better. We're going to say mutter. Okay, so the Gemara says that even though you're right, Rav does hold like Rabbi Yehuda on the topic, on the issue of Davishen and Miskaven, but still, by Bia Rishona, he allows it for, even if you argue Dam Ifkat Pakin, or if you argue Dam Chibur Mechbar, either way, Rav would allow the Bia Rishona to occur for other considerations. Adkan. So where are we in the Gemara right now? The Gemara is raising the question of whether or not it's permissible to have Bia Rishona on Friday night. The Gemara points out that there are two ways to look at the blood, either Mifkat Pakit or Chabur Mechbar. The Gemara cites a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel in terms of what the halacha is. The Gemara has a much easier time understanding Shmuel's viewpoint, because he does subscribe to Rabbi Shimon that Davish and Miskaven is Mutter, so it is much easier to understand Shmuel's viewpoint. In terms of Rav's viewpoint, the Gemara has a harder time understanding it because he sides with Rav Yehuda that Davishen and Miskaven, unintentional acts, are prohibited on Shabbos. So how can Rav allow it? And the Gemara argue that even Rav would allow this particular case for other considerations. Okay, now let's just ask the question, which is a pretty obvious question. Even according to Shmuel, who holds like Rabbi Shimon, that a Davishen and Miskaven is mutter, but how can he allow Bia Rishona? We just said earlier, a couple minutes ago, that if it's something which is inevitable, if it's a psik reisha, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's prohibited. So how can Shmuel allow Bia Rishona to occur on Shabbos? The answer that will be revealed on the Amud Beis, but I'll give it away now. Rashi mentions it very briefly right now. There are some people who know how to have a Bia Rishona without rupturing the Dam Basulim. This is what's referred to in the Gemara as Hataya, going in on an incline, and the Gemara points out that some people know how to do it, and we're going to be discussing that on the Amud Beis. But for now, just to state succinctly, it's not inevitable. There is a possibility that the Bia Rishona will occur without the Basulim being ruptured. Okay, and we'll come back to that point later on. Mesav Rav Chista, the Gemara quotes now in the name of Rav Chista a question. Tinokish lo yia zman alir os v'nises. Okay, the Gemara here is quoting a Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah Nida is discussing the following. We know that when a woman is a nida, when she's menstruating, so it's prohibited for the husband to have relations with her. It's a nisr kares. What if it's blood coming out of her, but it's not menstrual blood? Let's say as a simple example, which is what we're talking about, dam basulim. Let's say it's the sac of the hymen, which is being ruptured. That's not dam nida. So does that make it prohibited? The answer, of course, is no. That's not dam nida. That's dam basulim. Does it make it prohibited? The big question, of course, is, well, how do you know which blood is it? Is it dam basulim or dam nida? So what they are discussing in the Mishnah in Nida is, to what point can you assume that it is dam basulim and therefore they continue having beer with her, versus when you no longer are sure whether it's dam basulim or dam nida? If it's a suffix, so of course we're going to be machmir, because we're talking about a suffix of not only nisr daraisa, but nisr kares. At what point can you safely assume that it's still considered dam basulim? So the Mishnah Nida goes through the developmental stages of a girl, and I understand we're talking about now a married woman. Back then, marriage occurred at an early age. And so basically, what they're debating is, until when can you assume that the blood coming out is dam basulim? The Mishnah goes on to say, Tinokish lo yia zman aliros. So let's say she gets married at a really early age, where she has not yet experienced her first menstrual flow. And furthermore, she's not even of the age where she's expecting to see her first menstrual flow. I know, this is really young. But in the time of the Gemara, that when marriage occurred at those ages. So Tinokish lo yia zman aliros v'nises Beit Shammai armim nosan l'arba leilos. So Beit Shammai says the first four nights post marriage, meaning Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Motzei Shabbos, so the husband can have relations with her, and even if there is the experience of blood, you can safely assume that blood is dam basulim. But nothing beyond that point in time. meaning after the first four nights, if you see any blood, so you don't know what, you cannot assume that that's dam besulim, and therefore you have to stop. Just give me a moment. Beis Hillel omrim ad shetichi amaka. Beis Hillel is more makel. Beis Hillel says until the wound heals, meaning that as long as bleeding occurs in a consistent manner, so even if it goes beyond four nights, even if it's past that point in time, so you can safely assume that that's dam besulim. And only when the wound heals, and then subsequent to that blood is found, that blood, only then do you have to be concerned that that blood is actual menstrual blood. That is one stage of the Mishnah. Now we go on to the next stage of the Mishnah. He gives manaliros venises. So let's say she's at the age where she's expecting to see menstrual blood, but she hasn't actually seen it yet. So Beishamai omrim nosin la leila rishon. So Beishamai says that the husband can only have relations with her over the first night of the marriage, but not beyond that point, because Beishamai is concerned that any blood after that is damnida. Ubeis Hillel omrim ad motzei Shabbos arba leilos. And Beis Hillel over here is a little more machmer than he was previously, because now she's at an age where she may start actually seeing damnida, and so therefore Beis Hillel says only the first four nights up to and including Motzei Shabbos. Top of Vav Amud Beis. My love, de'ilo ba'il matzi ba'il. Now, the reason why we quote this Mishnah Nida is for one reason only in our discussion. What did the Mishnah say? That for a particular young lady, one can have relations with her on Wednesday night, on Thursday night, on Friday night, and Motzei Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah is not clear. It could very well be that a very legitimate way to explain the Mishnah is that even if there wasn't bia on Wednesday night, nor on Thursday night, it sounds like from the Mishnah that Friday night would be a perfectly legitimate opportunity for the husband to have the first act of relations with his wife. That's one way to interpret the Mishnah. If that's true, so then the Mishnah would be speaking to the idea that it'd be mutter. So the Gemara says, "My love, the ilo ba'al matzi ba'il afil b'Shabbos." That's the way the Gemara presents the question. Now, isn't that what the Mishnah means? Amarav lo levar mishabbos. The Rebbe says, "No, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means that you can have the first bia on Wednesday night, the first bia on Thursday night, the first bia on Motzei Shabbos, but not Friday night." So the Gemara says, "Vaham." I'm sorry. Amalei Abai v'ha ad Motzei Shabbos arba leilos ketani. So Abai says, yeah, but that's hard to say. The Mishnah says ad Motzei Shabbos, and then the Mishnah goes on to say four nights. Like, we all know how to count, right? This part is easy, right? We know that if the marriage is on Wednesday, which means Wednesday night is the first night of Bia, so then we know that Saturday night will be the fourth. Why does the Mishnah say four nights? It means any one of those nights is a perfect, legitimate opportunity for him to have relations with her. So, Ela, I'm a Rava Kishba'al. So Rava says, yeah, but I'll tell you. You know when the Mishnah says four nights, it means that if Bia occurred on Wednesday night, so then Bia can occur again on Thursday night, on Friday night, on Motzei Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah means. E Kishba'al my Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, if you're right, what's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, "Kamashman deshar lemevav b'Shabbos." So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what the chiddush is. The chiddush is that the bia would be permitted on Friday night. Why? In other words, if we're not talking about the first bia, if we're only talking about the second, maybe third bia, why would there even be an entertained idea that it would be prohibited? Kiddush mol damash mol pirta dechuka mutali kanos ba b'Shabbos ve'afa pisha meishir tzoros." So the Gemara says that it would be based on the following. Again, we're discussing what would we have thought, why would we have thought that even a bia shnir or bia shlishis would be prohibited on Friday night. Goes like this. Shmuel says like this. The Gemara is using this as an analogy, but Shmuel was actually discussing this particular case. The case of a person having to squeeze through a opening on Shabbos. Meaning, let's say, to get from one point to another, so there's only a very small opening let's call it a stone wall or a stone fence, and you have to basically squeeze your way through. And what's going to end up happening as you squeeze your way through, some pebbles are going to come out. Okay, that's totally incidental. You had no intention to do so. Shmuel says that's fine. The opening is there, you're not making an opening. All you're doing is just basically squeezing through in order to get through, even though, yes, it's true, some pebbles are going to come out. Similarly, over here, even though it's not Bia Rishona, But still, there's, you're going to be further opening the area. And so the consideration would be, maybe this would be more of a tikkun, more of a... you'd be making more of an opening. So the Gemara says that's what the consideration was, but Shmuel says that's fine. That's the Chiddush in the Mishnah. The Mishnah wants to teach us that you're not going to have Bia Rishonim with her on Friday night, but even though that Bia, be it the second, be it the third Bia, is going to make more of an opening, it's still going to be Mutter. Okay, so from that Mishnah, we have no conclusive proof whether or not Bia Rishonim can occur on a Friday night. Meitzav Rav Yosef asked the following question. Chasan Patur Mikriya Shma Lai Rishon. A chasan does not have to say, and we may say it a little bit stronger in just a moment, but a chasan does not need to say Kriya Shema on the first night of his marriage. Ad Motzei Shabbos. And this extends all the way to Motzei Shabbos, Imlo Asa Maisa, if he does not do an action. Okay. As an introduction to this mission is from Brachos. Okay, so we saw this Mishnah a short 2.5 years ago. So this Mishnah in Brachos taught us, you remember, that we have a general rule of Osek B'mitzvah, Patan Min HaMitzvah. That if I'm involved in one mitzvah, I'm exempt from doing other mitzvahs. But we could say it even better. Not only Osek B'mitzvah, but Tarud B'mitzvah. If my mind is so preoccupied with one mitzvah, so then I do not have to take a break in order to do another mitzvah. I can't do another mitzvah. Right now my mind is preoccupied. So on the first night of marriage, where the husband is preoccupied with the mitzvah of Bia Rishona, so now his mind is totally preoccupied. So to have him say Shema, you need Kavana to say Shema. Please allow me to repeat. You need Kavana to... I'm speaking to myself. You need Kavana to say Shema. So the... So you can't be preoccupied with the mitzvah Bia Rishona and also say Shema at the same time. So you have an exemption, a legitimate exemption from saying Shema on the first night of your marriage. And the Mishnah in Brachos says, and that is true, the first night, second, third, and fourth night of the marriage. What happens after the fourth night? So after the... I mean, hard to imagine what's happening. Life happens, so... It's possible that they didn't have Bia the first four nights, but after the fourth night, already the assumption that's made in the Mishnah over there in Brachos is that whatever the issues are, he can juggle the two thoughts of having the Bia Rishona and also saying Shema. So the Ptur, the exemption from saying Shema, it goes for the first four nights. That's the Mishnah in Brachos. It's based on the principle of Osek B'mitzvah in this case. Tarud B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. And so what the Gemara now is going to do is analyze the Mishnah in the context of our discussion. The Gemara goes on to analyze. My love, the Tarud D'Bai L'Mivol. So the Gemara says, what do you... In other words, the first night, what are you worried about? Having Bia. Second night, what are you worried about? And the answer, of course, is having Bia. And the third night, which is Friday night, again, the assumption, of course, is that the first night was Wednesday night. And the third night, which is Friday night, why are you exempt from Shema? Because you haven't yet had Bia Rishona with her, and you're worried about the Bia Rishona that you're going to have with her on Friday night. And so therefore you have an exemption from Shema. Isn't that the pshat in the Gemara in Brachos? And if that's the pshat, so settled. Meaning, we are now going to answer the question of, can you have Bia Rishona with her on Friday night? Sounds like from the Mishnah in Brachos. Yes, you can. Amalei Abaye lo detari de lo ba'il. So the Gemara says, Abaye says no. You know what the tirda is? The tirda is, you didn't have Bia with her. Meaning, Wednesday night, Thursday night, you didn't have Bia with her. For whatever the circumstances were, you didn't. On Friday night, the Mishnah is teaching us that you're exempt from Shema. Not meaning to say that because you're going to have Bia that night, but because you're not going to have Bia that night. Meaning that also is preoccupied in your mind, and it's hard for you to divest yourself from that thought, and so therefore you're exempt from saying Shema. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. And if anything, what the Mishnah is saying is that you can't have Bia Rishona on Friday night. So Amalei Rava Mishum Tirda Pater. So Rava says, I don't understand that. Meaning, so what are we talking about over here? Angst? Anxiety? That exempts you from Shema? We all suffer from angst and anxiety. And we're not exempt from the Shema. Alamiyata Tavas Vinasa Bayam Hachinami de Pater. The Gemara says your boat sinks in the water. Or to give a more modern example, you looked at your portfolio. Man, it's not looking good. Right? Let's say the bad day on Wall Street. And now what are you gonna go home and say, I can't believe it. I just lost thousands of dollars. I'm not saying Shema. No, you don't have. I mean, you may say that, but you don't have a legitimate exemption from not saying Shema. V'chite machanami, and the Gemara says, and you'd like to argue maybe that's so. It's not true. V'amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Marav Avel Chay V'chol Mitzvos Amors B'Torah. We know that an Avel is obligated in all the mitzvot of the Torah. Chutz min haTefillin, the only exception being Tefillin Shenemar, Ben Pe'er, because the Pasuk says Pe'er. That's the Pasuk in Yecheskel. We've gone over this before, that on the first day of Avelos, a Avel is exempt from the mitzvah of Tefillin, but that's the only exemption. That's the only thing that the Avel is pater from. Which means that an Avel obviously is laden with angst and anxiety and the stress of having lost a loved one. And does he get an exemption from doing mitzvahs in the Torah? No. No exemption. Again, with one exception. But no exemption. So the Gemara's point over here is, you see that anxiety and angst is not going to give you a pass on a mitzvah. So back to our chasson. On the first night on Wednesday night, so he's thinking about Bi'ur Rishona, therefore he's patur from Shema. Thursday night. Third night, Friday night. What did you want to say the pshat was? You wanted to say the pshat was, he can't have Bi'ah, and because of that anxiety, so therefore he's exempt from Shema. Gemara says, I don't hear that. Gemara says that's very difficult to accept. For the reason of not having Bi'ah, that will not allow him an exemption from Shema. So, Elam Rava Tanaihi. So Rava says, you know what we'll have to say? It's a machlokis Tanaim. Meaning, the question of whether or not he can have Bi'ah Rishon on Friday night is subject to a machlokis Tanaim, and so we may have one Mishnah indicating that he can have Bi'ah, but on the other hand, as we're about to demonstrate, there's other Tanaitic viewpoints that you cannot have Bi'ah on Friday night. The Tana Chada, one Brisa writes, Im lo asa maisa berishon pater af b'sheni. If you don't have the if you don't do the first act on the first night of the marriage, Wednesday night, so you're going to be exempt even the second. B'sheni pater af b'shlishi. And if you don't have it on the second night, you'll be exempt on the third night as well. The third night being Friday night. What is this price of the opinion? That you can have Bi'ah Rishon on Friday night, giving you a legitimate exemption from Shema, even on Friday night. Tanya Yiduch, the Gemara quotes another brisa, Rishon Vesheni Potter. You're going to be exempt from Shema on Wednesday night, on Thursday night. Shlishi Chayav. But on Friday night, you're going to have to say Shema. Why are you going to have to say Shema? Because he cannot be on Friday night. And because he cannot be on Friday night, so therefore there's no longer legitimate pitur of Osig B'mitzvah Potter Mena Mitzvah. So the Gemara says that is the machlokas tanayim. So Rava says the issue of whether or not you can have Bi'ah Rishona on Friday night is subject to a machlokas tanayim, as we just saw. The Abaye. So, and what's Abaye going to counter? Hasam nami betir da pligi. Abaye will counter by saying, no, those tanayim are not arguing whether you can or you cannot have Bi'ah Rishona on Friday night. Abaye will argue you can have Bi'ah Rishona on Friday night. But what about the brises, the two brises we just saw? What they're arguing about is the definition of tirda. V'ani tanai ki ani tanai detanya konis is a besula lo yivo betchil b'shabbos v'chacham imatirim. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. The brisa says that if you marry a besula, you cannot have the first act to be on Friday night. So v'chacham imatirim man chachamim. Who are these chachamim? It goes like Rabbi Shimon, who says that a davar shenem miskaven is permissible. So Abaye is still arguing. Abaye says, I don't understand. Now the Gemara is asking the question that we asked previously. How can you tell me that it's a davar shenem miskaven and therefore it's permissible? Meanwhile, isn't it inevitable? Isn't it an automatic consequence by having Bi'ah Rishon on Friday night, even though it's not your quote unquote intent, but it's automatically going to happen where the blood's going to come out? So the Gemara says, Amalei Abai, v'had davar shenem miskaven mutter. Sorry, I just reread the question. Amalei Abai, v'had moder Rabbi Shimon p'sik reisha v'lo yamos. Amalei lo ka'alala bavlin she'in b'kiin b'ataya, ela yesh b'kiin b'hataya. So the Gemara says, not like you Babylonians who do not know how to have the first act of relations without rupturing, but we, on the other hand, are b'kiin b'ataya, we're expert in hataya. I know the word expert over here is a little bit strange, especially if we're talking about a newlywed. I mean, to give them the label of expertise, I understand it's difficult. I understand that it's difficult to understand. I get it. But still, what the Gemara is asserting is that it's more than possible that it's that you're gonna penetrate without rupturing the Dam Bestulim, and therefore it doesn't fall under the category of psikration. As long as you hold, like Rabbi Shimon, that a Davashina Miskavin is mutter, so it'd be mutter and it's not a psikration. Im kein Tored Lama. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then what's the anxiety? What's the angst? Meaning, why is there even a concern and an exemption from Shema if you're not inevitably going to be rupturing the hymen? So Lama L'Sheina Baki. So the Gemara says, well, you know why there's an exemption for the people who don't know how to come in at an incline? So Yomer Baki Mutar Sheina Baki Aser. So the Gemara says, so now what are we doing? We're splitting the halacha. So for those chassanim getting married and know how to go in at an incline, so they're going to be obligated in Shema. For those chassanim who are getting married and don't know how to go in an incline, so they're going to be obligated. They're going to be exempt from Shema. I'm sorry. I don't know if I said it right the first time. Let me just say it one more time correctly. For those who know how to go in with Behataya, so that means that for them there is no angst and there is no anxiety. So that means that they're going to be obligated in Shema. And for those who don't know what they're doing and probably going to rupture and therefore are anxious and have anxiety, so therefore they're going to be exempt from Shema. Gemara says, and really there's a split in halacha. So Rav Bekinhain. So then the Gemara says, well, no, most people are Baki. So if I didn't understand the Gemara previously when the Gemara says that some people are expert, the Gemara statement over here that majority of people are expert, I'm not really claiming I understand how the majority of people could be expert in such an action, but the Gemara now is making that assertion. Amalei Rabba. Amalei Rava bar Rav Chanan Labai Elameata Shoshbanim Lama Mapa Lama. So the Gemara says, I have a hard time accepting that. Meaning, what happens at a wedding? We have Shoshbanim, which literally translates as the best man. But we're going to learn later on the Masechta, so that there would be cloths that would be used by him and her. Furthermore, there'd also be a bed sheet. In other words, there really is an expectation that she's going to bleed because it's Bi'er Rishona, it's Dam Bestulim, that's going to get ruptured. So the Gemara says, Amalei Hasam Shema Yireva Yavad. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you why. Their cloths are going to be used by them. The bed sheet is going to be underneath them. All that's going to be saved. But not because she's definitely going to bleed, but simply because there's a possibility of bleeding. And if in fact there was bleeding, that would be proof positive that she was a Basula. But what the Gemara is asserting is that there is a significant portion of the population that know how to have relations behataya, and so therefore it's not inevitable that the Dam Bestulim is going to be ruptured, and therefore it would be permissible to have the Bi'er Rishona on Shabbos.
Just negate the whole premise of getting married and when is they're going toward Dam Bestulim.
Not negate it, but certainly dilute it.
Yeah. I mean, the whole premise is
agreed. I totally agree. Okay, let's just recap. This is the first day of the daf that discusses Bi'er Rishona Shabbos. Tomorrow, the Gemara is going to wrap up the discussion and arrive at a conclusion. I'm telling you right now, inside information, the Gemara is going to conclude that it's mutter, it's permissible. But right now, where do we stand? So the Gemara has a discussion based on the first fundamental question of today was, how do we view the Dam Bestulim, the sack of blood? So is it Mifkat Pakir or Chabur Mechbar? The Gemara navigates through both sides of that question. The Gemara then touches on the issue of a davish and a miskaven, it's an unintentional act. Do we go like Rabbi Shimon? Do we go like Rabbi Yehuda? That's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav follows like Rabbi Yehuda by davish and a miskaven. Shmuel goes like Rabbi Shimon. How can Rav? Rav was quoted saying it's mutter. How can Rav say that it's mutter? That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara answered that question. Then the Gemara tried to point to Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Nida and a Mishnah in Brachos. Each one of them indicating that it is in fact permissible to have Bi'er Rishona. The Gemara deflected both of those proofs. And where we are right now is we're at a point where it may be okay. And tomorrow we're going to conclude the topic of discussion.